You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, before you get to this USC thing.
Yes!
Somebody just sent me the odds for the exact Super Bowl matchups in 2023.
Okay.
Okay. What do you guys think the number one possible matchup is? 22-1.
22-1 would be Kansas City and Buffalo and Tampa.
Correct. 22-1.
Why not the Rams,
one.
Mace?
All right.
He asked me to guess.
Yeah.
What right.
I'm asking why you didn't choose the Rams.
Well because he's trying to be right.
I'm trying to get what Vegas
When's the last time the same team won the Super Bowl 2 years in a row?
It's been a little while.
You'd have to go back to the Patriots several years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, number two, 25-1, Rams Bills.
Oh, there you go.
Number three, and I don't agree with this, Packers Bills. I think the Packers are going to take a step back without Devontae Adams. Number four, Tampa Bay, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Number five, and this surprises me, Tampa Bay, Chargers, 33-1. And Rams, Chiefs, which I think would be really fun.
That would be a great game.
35-1.
Yeah. And, of course, we're 8.5 weeks away.
You know what else
from
is 35-1? It's the last one I'll give you. Rams, Chargers.
Oh, wow, that would be interesting.
Where's the game this year?
Don't know. I haven't gotten ahead of myself yet. I will get ahead of myself, but I'm not there yet. All right. John,
Glendale, Arizona.
Glendale. God, I feel like I've been to three Super Bowls in Glendale. That's that's where I saw Eli Manning upset Tom Brady.
And ruin the perfect season.
And ruin the perfect season, yeah. All right, so, John, for years, as you know, I worked for USC.
Yeah.
For 9 years, I was the network pregame and postgame host and went to every single game and all that stuff. And I was there from Mike Garrett into Pat Hayden and J.K. McKay. And I was there for a long time. And then the Clay Helton malaise happened.
Right.
So for years, I went to every USC game with my best friend, Don Harris, who was the president of distribution at Paramount. Great guy, fantastic guy, every single game. Don is gone now. Don passed away a couple of years ago. And so I don't really have a regular USC game group.
Right.
Now, I've reached out to, first of all, season tickets. How much do you think for USC?
Well, I know they've gone up. I would think, so we're talking about 6 to 7 home games, right?
Yes, yeah, 6.
So I would say they're probably $800 a ticket for the season?
Well, it's $4,300 for the year.
For the one ticket?
For one ticket.
You're kidding.
No.
$4,300.
Yeah.
So it's more than $500 a ticket.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot. You must be looking at really good seats. Yeah.
No.
By the way, do you
here's
mean...
Here's the thing. They're crap seats.
They're just getting that much?
Yeah, they're just getting that much.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
So I'm gonna StubHub my way through this
right.
season.
I would too.
Yeah. I mean, why make the big investment?
See, I was guessing they'd be about, you know, between $150 and $200 apiece.
Yeah, no, they're getting
for a college game.
They're getting Lincoln Riley prices.
Look at you being all excited about going to a USC game.
But,
now
but wait,
good.
No. Well, you said on the other.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You said that you're being accused of being
sure,
a bandwagoner.
Because now Lincoln Riley's here. Now I'm going to start going back to games. I was
okay,
only at one game last year.
Let me say this. I don't understand that accusation.
Okay.
Bergman.
Yep.
Is a UCLA fan.
Yes.
He never went to UCLA. That doesn't mean he can't be a UCLA
classes.
Fan.
I took classes.
I took classes at UCLA.
Yes.
Like on the campus.
For how long?
Oh, summer.
Yeah, for the summer.
All right. But that doesn't mean you can't become it. You live in Los Angeles.
Right.
You can become a UCLA. Many USC fans that I meet, and you're in this group, Mace, did not attend USC. That
yeah.
doesn't mean.
Well, okay. But that doesn't. No,
I didn't play. I mean, I didn't play for the Rams. That doesn't mean I can't become a Rams
but
fan.
But here's the point. For 8 years, I went to every single game and worked every single game.
Right.
Then I stopped working for them. I lazed out of going. So now the fact that I'm going again makes me a bandwagon
Absolutely
fan, according
not.
To
no.
some.
Here's the question. Did you watch all the games at home?
Yeah.
Did you watch every game?
I watched every
game.
I
mean,
be honest. I watch every
game. Are you kidding?
Game.
Of course you watch every game. I got a text from him in the middle of the second quarter saying, Clay must go.
Have you never
and then when they
my
came
text
back,
messages?
And then when they came true. Back, he would say, Clay is a genius. I've never seen anyone as schizophrenic as Mason during an SC game on television.
Then you're still a fan. You're still watching the games.
Still a fan. Still watching the games. But now I'm going to go back to the games and
Are you looking for people to go to the games with?
Yeah,
you should go to my friend Brianne, who I think I think you've met. Went to USC.
Yeah,
used to go to all the games with her mom and dad. Her mom passed away several years ago. Her dad's having some health issues, but she used to go to every game, and she stopped like you when the team got bad. But I bet you she would go. She listens to the show. She'll probably text.
Yeah, Brianne. I'm in,
and she's fun.
I was talking to him. I talked to her. I was talking to Alex Michelson, who's another guy that's an SC guy. We don't have any other SC guys on the show, but I intend to. And by the way, judging from the attendance at the spring game, I'm not the only one who's going to be coming back to the Coliseum this year.
Yeah, and by the way, don't feel bad and don't let anybody shame you out of supporting a college team where you didn't go to college there. That's dumb. You live in Los Angeles. If you want to support USC or UCLA, go for it.
But that's not what they're shaming me for. Like, for example, I have strong association with SC because I did all those years. And then I had the movie theaters at SC and all that stuff. So it's more that, where were you when Clay Helton was here? And the answer is, I was there some of the time.
No. The answer is you were watching every game and you were emotionally invested in every game. And just because you didn't spend what I guess is now $1,000 to go to a football game doesn't make you less of a fan.
Well, look, if you're going to get season tickets, now's the time. Because once they go to the Big Ten and all those Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State it's going to go way up.
No, Greg, I think his plan to StubHub every game is good. Because
StubHub them.
Once
you get the tickets, you're in.
Yeah, although look at his Rams tickets. They're making him pay for all those Ram games, including the preseason. He doesn't want to go see all those games in the preseason, but he's got to pay for them.
Well, there's only one this year. Only one preseason game.
And if something comes up and you can't go, you know, life happens. You're not stuck with the bill. That way, if you StubHub every game, you just go and when you can go. And there's going to be some games where you're going to want really good seats and other games where you don't care where you sit.
Somebody just sent me a link and it says sales officially launched for season tickets starting as low as $299 for all seven games in the Coliseum.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing.
$299.
Yeah, I was guessing $400-$500. You know,
where did I get $4,300?
Well, you're probably trying to get seats like your Rams.
You're trying
seats
to get good
that
seats
that are on the 50-yard line.
Exactly.
But I and by the way, USC might go undefeated at home this year. They're going to be really good. And then the following year, when they go into the Big Ten, it's going to be much harder because they're going to have to play teams like Michigan and Ohio State and Wisconsin, and you know, instead of Arizona, Washington State, and Cal, you know, it's going to be harder.
Right. Right. I got the sneezes. Take it away for a sec.
Take it away, Sedano. One thing that I think about college football is that when UCLA and USC join the Big Ten,
yes,
the games are going to be really fun.
I mean,
I've sat through many, many, many UCLA games against Oregon State.
Yeah.
It sucks. But if that game's against Ohio State, I'm in.
Well, and here's the big thing, because that's, you know, my original part of the world. I've got tons of friends that are Ohio State fans. When USC plays at Ohio State, I definitely want to go. I want to go to Penn State, where a bunch of my relatives are. I want to go to Ann Arbor, where I partied a ton when I was at Bowling Green. I want to go to Wisconsin. I hear Madison is like a really, really fun college town. So it does open up the possibilities of going to really fun big schools for big games.
Right. And everybody, you know, there are a lot of people saying, well, it ruins the tradition of the Pac-12. The tradition of the Pac-12 is stupid. They had a dumb commissioner who couldn't get a TV network going. There's a hierarchy in the Pac-12 of at least six teams that I don't want to see play.
Yep.
And now I'm going to get to see good teams play. And it goes in basketball season too. I think it's going to be great. I'm all in favor of them going to the Big Ten.
Me too. So, let me tell you a disappointing story about one of your idols.
Depends who it is.
It is, he's a Sir. Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, Phil Collins, who's a legend in his own right.
Yeah, Phil is not exactly have the reputation of being the world's nicest man.
So,
once broke up with his wife by fax.
Yeah. What? By, no, did he really?
Yeah, Google it. Phil Collins once sent his wife a fax saying, I want a divorce.
Wow. How does she respond? Did she fax back?
No. I think they just got divorced.
Wow. But by fax.
By fax.
Okay, here's what. So Phil Collins apparently when in 2002, this is what Phil Collins says. I met Paul McCartney when I was working at the Buckingham Palace party back in 2002. McCartney came up with his then wife, Heather, and I had a first edition of The Beatles by Hunter Davies and said, hey, Paul, do you mind signing this for me? And Paul said, oh, Heather, our little Phil's got a, he's a bit of a Beatles fan. And I thought, UF, never forget it. Oh, Heather, our little Phil's a bit of a Beatles fan. It's that impression of I'm better than you.
Huh. Did he sign it?
It doesn't say, but it does say Phil's hatred of McCartney has only grown stronger over the years. So McCartney was one of my heroes, but he has this thing when he's talking to you where he makes you feel, I know this must be hard for you because I'm a Beatle. I'm Paul McCartney. It must be very hard for you to actually be holding a conversation with me. So Paul's a little better than.
So I've had two people that have had direct personal experiences with Paul McCartney.
Okay.
The first one is our mutual friend Paul Majors, the news
anchor. Yeah, sure. I love Paul.
Beatles was his favorite band growing up, and we used to do the shows. Now they're in Studio City.
Yep.
But we used to do the show on Sunset. Sunset and Gower.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a bar across the street, a place called Pino.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the show sometimes, Majors would go over and have a drink before he would go home.
Yep.
And Beatles are his favorite band of all time.
Yep.
So he goes over, he's sitting at the bar. Guy comes up, taps him on the shoulder. Points at Majors, goes, newsman. Majors goes, Paul McCartney? He goes, yeah. He goes, and Majors goes, I'm like your biggest fan. He goes, well, let's have a drink. Sat down, talked to him for like 25 minutes. It said he could not have been, like, was.
Newsman.
Yeah, was blown away. The other guy.
Hello, newsman.
The other guy is Jared Diglio, who used to work
with
us.
Yeah, sure.
So one time I'm doing a Laker-Clipper game, and on the scoreboard, they start playing, it was a Clipper home game, and they start playing I Saw Her Standing There.
Right.
And they cut to a shot of McCartney in the stands, and he's lip-syncing and dancing to I Saw Her Standing There. I go, Jared, he's going to say no, but go see if McCartney will do the third chair.
Mm.
Tell him you'll hand him a headset and a microphone. He won't have to get out of his seat. So Jared goes, okay. Walks over there, and I go, hey, when you do it, turn on the mic so I can hear it. So he walks over, he goes, Paul, my name's Jared. I'm with Lakers Radio. We saw you dancing. Would you visit with the guys for a couple of minutes? And McCartney said, he goes, I appreciate you asking, but I'm with my family, and I don't want anything to take away from that.
Right.
But thanks for asking. He couldn't have been nicer about it.
Yeah.
So that's very different than
Phil Collins.
Than Phil Collins. And I've always heard Phil Collins, and I'm a big
Well, if he divorced his wife
I'm
by
a,
fact.
I'm a very... big Genesis fan. I loved his solo stuff. I've always heard he's kind of a crank.
Really? So consider the source.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a bummer if it's true.
You know, I was thinking about McCartney over the weekend.
Is there a more famous person on the planet right now?
Sure.
Who would it be?
Who's more famous than Paul McCartney right now?
Considering age, like, I think young people would know who he was. I think older people would know who he was. Maybe Barack Obama?
Yeah, Obama. I mean, I would think any of the presidents probably, right?
Maybe.
Any of the living presidents for the most part. Who
you think
else
The Rock
is
would
famous?
Be somewhere up
the
there?
The Rock would be up there, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Okay, so I looked up the Phil Collins text story. By the way. Have you guys ever seen Emily in Paris, the TV show on Netflix?
No, I only know Peyton Manning's summary of it from Saturday Night Live.
That's all I know about it.
That's what I know of Emily in Paris.
It was very funny.
It was very funny.
So apparently this came back to get Phil Collins because he dumped his second wife over fax, demanded a divorce over fax. Then later, one of his wives dumped him over text.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
it's
even
the old
more
what
impersonal.
Goes around, comes around. And the woman he dumped via fax is Lily Collins' mom. That's her dad. Phil Collins is her dad.
Okay, got it.
So,
see, I think there's something kind of humane about dumping somebody by text.
All right, so in
don't you think
this happened in 1994? Jill Tavelman was his wife, who is the mother of Lily Collins.
Yep.
In the facts, Phil demanded a divorce, later saying he had fallen out of love with her. However, the claim has been denied by Collins over the years. But apparently, she put it out there. A source told The Sun, which we know is like the New York Post.
Right, right.
Later, the new wife, the younger wife, dumped him over text.
So here's my question, though. Do you have to hold your thought on it? Do you have to break up with somebody in person? Do you have to? Is there any requirement? Is it?
There's a correct answer to this.
Okay, good, good. Let's get to the correct answer next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're counting down to All-Star Friday night this Friday at the West Covina Sportsplex. You get to watch our Wiffle Ball Bash, which includes some listeners, and our 710 All-Star Game featuring everybody from here at the station. All of our shows broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. all the way till 7 o'clock on Friday night. Everybody in attendance has got a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic, and special thanks to our partners on this event, your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with Hyundai. And I did go out, John, and I tossed the ball around, hit a little bit over the weekend.
Got yourself a strawberry on your knee.
Got myself a strawberry on my knee, which kind of goes with the territory, right, Jorge?
Somebody at the door, Mace.
All right.
Someone's at the door.
Who's at the door?
Seriously.
Who's at the door?
This is your time to talk, sir.
All right. Is there somebody there?
Is there somebody there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Shadano?
Is Shadano there?
He's supposed to be. Apparently, he's not.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
All right. Well, we tried.
We tried. If he comes back, great. In the meantime, is it necessary to, if you're going to break up with somebody, to do it in person, John? We heard Phil Collins did it once by fax. Somebody did it to him by text.
Okay. How long have you been with him? Is it less than?
I'd say 6 months.
I was just going to say, is it less than 6 months? You landed right on 6 months. I think 6 months is the cutoff. If you've been with them less than 6 months, fax, text.
All okay.
On Sex and the City once, they broke up with Carrie via post-it note.
Oh, that's a rough one.
I personally have never broken up with anyone over electronic communication.
I'm trying to think. Have I?
Six months is too long. You got to do that in person in 6 months.
No. Nah.
It's got to be like two months, three months.
The one
tops.
Time I got dumped by, well, it wouldn't even have been text. It would have been voicemail.
Beeper,
I got dumped
pager
by,
code?
Not by pager. It hasn't been that long. But I definitely got dumped by voicemail. And I thought, honestly, I thought it was much less awkward than if we'd have done it in person.
Yeah. Well, think of it this way. There's never a good, like, I always think it's dumb to bring somebody in to the office to fire them.
Right.
If that's the sole reason you're bringing them in. Like, if you're going to fire me, just call me and say, hey, we've decided to go a different direction.
Wait a minute. Even after, let's say, it's the end of this contract and it's we've been here 21 years and it's 2025. And
am I making a special trip into the office just so you can fire me?
Yes.
No. Just so you're going to feel better about yourself because you did it in person?
Ah,
yeah.
The
end result
is the same, right?
Yeah.
There's no good way to...
End result is your can't.
Yeah, there's no good way to fire somebody, and there's no good way to break up with somebody. So you might as well make it as quick and as painless as you can
do. Yeah. Bergman, do you agree?
Yeah, but I mean, I still think that you should do it in person, always.
Why?
I don't know, because I think it's a much
nicer thing.
Why? So you can feel better about yourself? I'm the one you're dumping.
Well, sure. But
then you do it, and it's like, what's the person supposed to say?
Well, no, the person, they want to hear it in person. I honestly feel that way, because when there's most people, they'll say it to you, they'll be like, you could have done it in person. That would have been much nicer of you to do it in person to me. And like... I've always done it over text or some other way. So
you wait. You always have done it.
Yeah, over text. I mean, but
not
it's also early. I'll do it early because I don't
did
think
it once. I guess.
Can
over
I come over and break up with you? That's the text.
Yeah. Can I come over? Are you available? I'd like to break up with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you available?
Hello.
Right, we're trying this again.
We're trying it again.
All right.
We're trying it again.
Sedano, are you there?
Sedano.
Yeah, I'm here. You
okay.
guys can push the buttons properly.
Well, that's not us. That's Jorge.
We're not pressing buttons.
Hey, is tonight your NBA Summer League debut this year?
Yeah, yeah, I'm calling Knicks Blazers with Jordan Cornette as my analyst and Katie George as my sideline reporter.
Okay.
Cool.
Now, George, do me a favor. If you see LeBron on one side of the building and Russ on the other, can you introduce them to each other?
Yeah, I will. Okay. I will. Fascinatingly enough, I was just sitting next to your boss on this flight.
Which one?
The governor of the team. And I told her, make sure you give Michael and Trudell a raise, and you know you can dock Ireland some pay just because he's dealing with Mason every day.
Right.
Like, that's just
well,
because
the fact
he
that,
deals with
the,
Mason.
The fact that you sat next to her will probably lead to a reduction in pay for me. Trust me. That's the way it normally works.
Was there a friendly conversation?
It was just small talk. Yeah, it was
just
very
small talk. Was it awkward?
Not at all.
No?
No. Well, Jean's not awkward when she sees you, Mace.
I think she would be.
No, she was nice to you last year when you saw her.
You think so?
I haven't seen her since 2019.
She's like the nicest person.
Yeah.
She's like the nicest person ever.
Yeah, I know, but she doesn't. But John always says she doesn't like me.
Well, she doesn't like that you said that she should sell the team and that Rob should be fired and that we made it into a promo. That's what she doesn't like.
Oh, is it the promo part
that
or
didn't
is it
help.
The stuff that's
yeah,
a, yeah,
that
yeah,
didn't
exactly.
Help. George, how long are you out in the desert?
I'm here through Sunday, through the championship game. By the way, here's where I land on what you guys were just talking about. Because enough of that. I just wanted to.
Can you break
like
up?
Mason's
can you
the reason you?
Can you break up with somebody if you've dated them less than 6 months? Can you break up with them electronically?
Less than 6 months. See, that's different. So I was going to side in the middle. I was going to say, if you fire me, feel free to do it over the phone. I don't have to drive in.
Me too.
Yeah,
I feel
the
same
makes
way.
Sense.
Yeah, but breaking up, I feel like. I mean, you've literally shared a lot in my if I were
so
to
is the rule with you if you've consummated the relationship, then you got to do it in person.
Yeah, absolutely. You owe that person at least that.
See, I don't think so. I think if I'm that person, I would rather not have that conversation. Just drop me a note, say, "Hey, I'm moving on."
A post-it note.
See you later. Best of luck, and get on with our lives.
I don't know. See, I've been told by a friend that the one of the strangest breakups he's had was he was dating a girl somewhat long distance. Like they lived, one lived in the Bay and obviously the other one lived in LA, and they did it over FaceTime. And he felt that even though it was strange and a little awkward, he liked the fact that she at least did it face to face, even though it was through electronics. Now, how does that factor into your equation?
So is a Zoom?
Yeah, FaceTime.
We'll FaceTime the breakup.
Better than a text.
That's better
than a fax like Phil Collins used.
Yeah. Does anybody use FaceTime?
Do you use FaceTime?
Yeah.
This is embarrassing to tell you guys. This is how I use FaceTime. And it's comical. I should record it so we could play it on the show once. My mom will text me that her TV is broken. And then I will FaceTime. My mom is in her 80s. I will FaceTime her.
Yeah.
And she won't. She won't answer.
Yeah.
Then I'll call her. She'll answer right away. I'll say, "Why didn't you answer FaceTime?" She said, "I've never done that before." I said, "We did it a month ago." Answer. I'm going to hang up. I'm going to FaceTime you. And then I'll have her hold the phone up to the TV so I can see what she's doing.
Right.
And I will fix her TV via FaceTime. That's the only time I use it.
Yeah. Well, I've done the same. my mom is 80, going in 83 this year, and I have done the exact same thing multiple times. But my mom does actually answer the phone on FaceTime. She knows what FaceTime is. At least.
I know, like, and George, do you do it to talk to your kids sometimes? If I want to see Jack, I will FaceTime him
just
I can see him.
Yeah. I mean, Mace, you're not, you're never anywhere, I feel like.
I got no kids.
Yeah, you're with Juan. So
I'm with Juan all the time. So, yeah. There's no real need. But even like my mom, I don't think my mom knows how to FaceTime.
Somebody just tweeted us, and this is a good point. With gas prices the way they are, fire me or break up with me via text, fax, Morse code.
True.
I don't want to waste the money to drive over there.
Cheaper.
That's actually an excellent point.
Wait. But what if they're driving to you? What, you know, whatever.
I always think that if you're the one that's breaking up with someone, you're doing it face-to-face to help you. So you can feel better about yourself. The other person is getting broken up with.
Oh, no way.
Really?
I disagree. I know plenty of people who've been broken up with via text, like friends, guys, girls. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're male or female. And they have been pissed when somebody breaks up with them over text.
Okay. There it is.
But are they in their universe? Like, are they going to bump into them again? Or is it just some ship in the night?
No, it's someone they'll see again.
Oh, yeah, no. If somebody you're going to see again, you got to make that right. If it's somebody like, for example, when I got dumped, the only one time I ever got dumped, I got into a fight, verbal altercation, and then I left, and I got a voicemail saying, don't come back. That's the way it went down.
That's not awesome. Wow. That's not unusual, though, I wouldn't think.
Don't come back. Yeah.
Don't ever call me. Don't ever call me again.
Don't ever call me again. Like that kind of thing. Yeah, that's that sort of thing. It happens.
Yeah,
it happens.
That's not super awkward. It's less awkward than Momo blaming her baby for farting.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that? It's the baby.
What's a baby for? Come on.
It's the baby. All right. Hey, Shidano, are you're going to be missing the big Friday night All Star party, huh?
I am. Unfortunately, I will miss that and the big Key Bash.
Oh, that's right. The Keyshawn Johnson party. True. Yeah. That's coming up on Saturday. Well, we'll miss you, man.
Are you doing Sedano and Cap at all this week? Are you working doing games
today.
Every night?
I'm working about half the show today, and then I will be TBD the rest of the week.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, have fun out there. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Sedano.
All right. See you guys.
Cool. Coming up next, olden timey expressions. There are a couple I want to bring back.
I can't imagine what these might be. All right.
We got that coming up for you. Plus,
and wisely invested all of our money in the stock market.
Wisely invested all our money in the stock market. See? Yeah. It was always going to lead to 30 stock. It was always going to lead to 30 stock. Also, coming up for you, what Ray Allen had to tell some kids about Michael Jordan. That is coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Ireland, I'm watching. I think you watch this show, too. I'm rooting for it. It doesn't make me laugh a lot, but I'm rooting for it. It's called Loot. It stars
Maya
Rudolph.
Yeah, I like this show more than you do.
Does it make you laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny. It doesn't quite make me laugh. I'll watch her do most anything. But they brought up an interesting idea. The lead character there, who is, I guess, her maybe wind up being her love interest. I'm not sure what. But he started using this expression, jazzed up. Like, you got really jazzed up. I'm really jazzed up about this. Now, I like that as an old-timey expression. The other day, I used the term cockamamie. Cockamamie is another great old-timey word. Can you think of an old-timey expression that you would like to bring back?
old-timey expression that I like to bring back.
I just read Catcher in the Rye. That knocks me out. That just knocks me out. I like that one, too.
That doesn't even sound like it's that old. Old to me is like whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper, pull up your trousers.
Youngster.
That's my cup of tea.
Trousers, that's my cup of tea. Here's what we're going to do, see?
Ah, kid.
Hey, hey, kid. Yeah, 30s talk, 30s talk.
Giggle water.
I need me some giggle water, quick.
What malarkey. Now everyone will think I'm a no-good lollygagging dewdropper.
Lollygagging
dewdropper.
This new deal sure is ducky.
Now, what is dewdropper? What is D? Is it D-E-W dropper?
No, it's...
Yeah, that's what it'd be. Dewdropper.
No.
Listen,
what malarkey. Now everyone will think I'm a no-good lollygagging dewdropper.
Dewdropper.
That's an unemployed man.
Yeah, it's an unemployed guy. Somebody
lazy young male who
lazy young male
all
sleeps all day and has no ambition. No ambitions.
That's Mason.
A lazy, no good dewdropper.
We got sophisticated at the gin joint and wisely invested all of our money in the stock market.
Yeah.
It's too true. Too true.
So,
what was the Ray Allen thing?
Okay, the Ray Allen thing. Yeah, that one didn't really fire, did it?
Oh, it just feels weird because that was something you did with Lindsay, so I feel like I can't do that.
Didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
All right, Ray Allen was talking to some kids, and here he is explaining why LeBron is not the GOAT. Listen to this.
Yeah, out the post, he can score and pass. Is he a great free throw shooter? Is he a great three-point shooter? Is it great dribbler?
Oh,
so you're saying the GOAT, and he ain't even the great in all them categories. You want to lose?
But okay, I disagree. If you couldn't hear that, he said, "Is he a great free throw shooter?
Yeah.
Is he a great 3-point shooter?
Right.
Ball handler.
Ball handler. And
he's a great ball handler.
And he said, but Michael Jordan wasn't a great 3-point shooter.
No.
Wasn't a great ball handler, wasn't a great free throw shooter. He was adequate, and he's generally considered the best player ever.
Right.
I don't necessarily think those are the most important things that make up the greatest player. I think LeBron is, without argument, top five.
No, without. I mean, I'm a big LeBron, definitely one or two. LeBron is one or two for me.
There's never been a player who does as many of the main things well as LeBron does. He's going to finish, by the time he's done, as the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and he's going to finish top 10 in rebounds and assists, maybe top five. Nobody's ever done that. I think the top five list is, depending on what you do, is Jordan, Kareem, LeBron. For me, it's Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people would put Bill Russell in there because he was the biggest winner, had 11 games. I would lean towards Kobe. I think Tim Duncan's in the conversation. Michael would say Wilt has to be there.
Right.
But there's no way LeBron's out of the top five. I would argue no way he's out of the top three.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would not take him out of the top three. I wouldn't take him out of the top two. I mean, I think it's Jordan and LeBron.
I think Kareem has a pretty good argument. I mean, Kareem was...
But when LeBron passes him on the all-time scoring list, will that not mitigate some of Kareem's argument?
Well,
Or the argument for Kareem?
What Kareem and LeBron both had in common is if they were on your team, you had a really good chance of going to the finals.
Right.
Really good chance of going to the finals. You wouldn't always win it, but you have a really good chance of getting there. And so those two guys, to me, are immortal. But the thing Jordan doesn't get enough credit for is Jordan was... for at least two or three years, the best defensive player in the league, too. And so, you know, that he played both sides of the ball. LeBron's been all defense before. Kareem was good defensively, but, you know, Tim Duncan, I think, was 10 times all defense.
Right,
Bill Russell was elite defensively. So it depends what you value.
Yeah. Have you watched any of those David Letterman, this guest
almost
needs
all
no
of them.
Introduction?
Almost all of them.
Okay. So always a big Letterman guy. Never watched this until yesterday. I was looking for something to watch.
Which one did you watch?
Her and Dave and Billie Eilish.
Okay.
And then Dave and Cardi B. And then Dave and Will Smith.
Was the Will? I haven't seen that one yet. Was the Will Smith one done before or after the Oscars?
Before.
Okay.
So this is what I took from it. He said, and first of all, the guy is so friggin' wired. And then, like, he's just, you know, like, there's on, and then there's, like, yeah, really intensely. Will Smith intensely on with Dave. The other thing is, he said that he had done ayahuasca 24 times in the last 2 years.
What's ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca is this herbal thing that you drink and you go on a vision quest. It's from, do you know what ayahuasca, no?
Bergen, yeah, I don't know, do you exactly know what ayahuasca, yeah, I know what it is. I don't know exactly like what it's made from.
I know it gives you like a, it's a psychotropic, yeah, so it makes you hallucinate, right?
Okay.
And it
you
makes
have
you,
to have someone with you to
makes
like
you
walk
throw
you through
up.
It.
Somebody has to guide you through this.
Okay.
But what Will Smith said was, after my trips on ayahuasca, I feel like I can handle everything in life. And all I could think was,
not so much.
Yeah, except when somebody makes a joke about your wife.
Well, how often was he doing it?
He did it 24 times in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
That seems excessive.
You're
right?
Going on journeys through your brain way too often at that point.
Yeah, I thought was, I'm going to steer clear of the ayahuasca because it definitely.
Right, let me give you two of the David Letterman, my next guest needs no introductions, that I think will change your opinion about the subject.
About ayahuasca?
About the person he's interviewing.
Oh, okay, got it.
Okay. Watch the one with Kim Kardashian.
Mm.
She comes off incredibly likable.
She's unbelievably bright, yeah.
Yeah, incredibly likable. And then the one I just watched more recently was the one with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which was really good.
Yeah. The one with Cardi B was fantastic. I love Cardi B, and I thought the one with Billie Eilish was also great. And he has a great knack at humanizing people. He's become a really, really great interviewer. So if you haven't checked that out, that is This Guest Needs No Introduction, the David Letterman Talk Show, and watch the Will Smith one and tell me if you don't see an alarm clock ticking, like something's about to happen. All right, it is Bobcat time. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bobcat.
All right, what's going on? And thanks, Chris. I was going to go.
Who are we thanking, Chris?
Just because it's just normal to say it. So
shots. That's what he's doing. Taking shots. That's what he's doing.
You would never take shots, Jorge. All right. So normally I'd go start with something else, but this just came across to me from someone else, and I want to read it.
Okay.
So sources: Dodgers and Reds have had preliminary trade conversations about right-handed pitcher Luis Castillo. Many clubs are showing interest in Castillo. Of course, long way to go before August 2nd trade deadline, but Dodgers are definitely involved. That's from John Morosi.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Good grab for the Dodgers. He did have some shoulder issues during spring training. He's thrown, let's see, he's got a 2.92 ERA, 3-4 record in 12 starts. Probably the best, him and Frankie Montas from the A's, probably the two best starting pitchers available on the market.
I think they have to go get a starting pitcher. We don't know when or if Buehler is coming back.
Yep.
We don't know when or if Dustin May is coming back. Urias got lit up in a really weird game yesterday where it was 9-8 after the third inning.
Yeah.
They definitely need reinforcements in starting pitching. And Castillo or anybody else that they could bring in that could give them innings, that could be a workhorse, would be a good trade.
Well, the other name that's floating around now and is interesting, and we've seen the Dodgers bullpen lately, is Josh Hader, the potential that the Milwaukee Brewers will move off of Josh Hader.
That would be, I mean, monstrous.
Oh, yeah.
He throws 100 miles an hour.
Oh, he is unbelievable. He would be an unbelievable get. The question is whether or not the Brewers would go ahead and trade him. They've got a great 1-2 in Devin Williams and Josh Hader.
If they were to trade Josh Hader, they still have Devin Williams who can step in and close. So it's not, I wouldn't completely foreclose the possibility that Josh Hader could be on the target list for the Dodgers. Take it away, Corporal
Bobcat. Sorry about that. Derek Jeter addressed his biggest controversy, whether he gave gift bags to the women he slept with when he was single. He says absolutely not and is stunned that he would even believe such nonsense. First of all, do you believe him? And second, in an alternate universe where you weren't in a serious relationship and gave out gift bags, what would you put into your gift bag?
All right. There's a girl out there that claims she got two of them.
Right.
Two swag bags?
He forgot that he'd already
that he hooked
given
up
her
with
one.
Her wow. and then gave her another one. So I think there is some truth to the gift bag.
Yeah.
So if it were me,
swag bag.
Swag bag for a girl that was nice enough to hook up with me.
Yep.
All right. So a collection, first of all, of DVDs of some things I think she would enjoy. I would put in there Love Actually, the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Yeah.
I would put in there...
signed picture of John Ireland?
No, I would not put a signed picture of... You know what I would do for something funny? I'd put a signed picture of Mason in my bag.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and she would be...
Obviously,
going,
Mason
why
would be
why
more
did
valuable.
She get it? Yeah. I would put a bottle of whiskey, preferably Maker's Mark, because she would need it to realize who she just slept with. And,
I'm self-deprecating, apparently.
Yeah, and I'm probably, I don't know if this would be inappropriate or, well, no, I think it would be nice. I would give her a gift certificate to a spa to get over
that's
the
good.
Trauma I
that's
just
good.
Put
sure.
her through.
Sure,
all right, that would
good.
Be in mine. What would be in yours?
I'd give, I'm right now loving these Mr. Pete's coconut oatmeal cookies.
Would you put gummies in yours?
Yeah, well, these cookies are indica. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, the cookies.
So, same idea.
Cookies take the place. What the hell else would I stick in there?
Amazon, donuts?
Amazon gift card?
That seems kind of insensitive.
Amazon. Donuts?
That's a little insensitive.
Amazon gift card?
Yeah. What are you going to give her, like, $50
love
bucks to
an
Amazon?
Amazon gift card. Amazon
you
gift card's a great gift.
You can't get anything with it.
Well,
yeah.
Sure you can. You really don't think Amazon gift cards, because I give a lot of Amazon gift cards. Do you really think it's a bad gift?
I think it's. I don't think it shows much thought.
No, I don't think it's a bad gift for like
it's
if
like
you're giving
cash.
It to Jorge or me. I think it's a bad gift if you get to someone you just slept with.
Would you give her cash, or in your case, him cash?
No, Amazon gift card. I'm Amazon gift card.
Basically the same thing,
and
right?
And some weed. Amazon gift card, weed, and joy.
Now, what's interesting, Hannah, Jeter's wife, said she never got one.
Oh, really?
After the first time they hooked up. I don't know if that lends credence to the fact that he never did it or if he just ran out of gift stuff.
He famously, by the way, when you went to his house, apparently you had to lock up your phone. It was like going to a Kevin Hart concert.
Right. One of the things he says in this, the captain coming out on ESPN, is if phones existed his rookie year, he would have been out of the league in 3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
Bobcat.
We got a wow from Jorge.
Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so we're very competitive here. I sent you guys a video of three guys dressed in as hot dogs running on that dirt in the backfield, right?
Okay, got
so
it.
Out of all the three shows, us, Sedano, Cap, Travis, and Sliwa, who would win a race like that? If all you six dressed as hot dogs.
Yeah.
And race like that at a baseball game.
Okay, so this is this a...
do both have to cross the same... like they?
No,
both have to cross?
No, I think Mason and I would be the mustard. We would be in first place cruising.
Yep.
And then Mason would do something stupid in faceplant, and then we'd be out of it.
I
which
think
means...
the likely... And I would get a strawberry.
I think Sedano and Cap win it. Cap, former athlete. Sedano is still relatively young. Travis, if this was a feats of strength,
kind of
I would pick Travis.
Home.
Yeah, but Slee maybe could give him a race, but I would handicap. I would handicap it. Sedano and Cap one, Travis and Slee two. Mason and I would have had the lead, but Mason would fall and screw it up.
Well, Sedano and Cap are going to fight the whole way. So.
Yeah, right.
So that's gonna be tough.
I'll retweet the video so you guys can see it.
Okay, yeah, do that. Do that.
Bobcat.
All right, so David Harbour is one of the main actors in Stranger Things and talked about method acting. He said to GQ that he thought method acting didn't bring out the best work. So GQ mentioned that Daniel Day-Lewis is someone that used the method, and he said, this is David Harbour said, "He's an extraordinary actor who I'm captivated and fascinated by. But when he explains his process, it sounds like nonsense to me. Day-Lewis is one of the greatest actors ever, but he also retired early and hasn't acted since 2018. People have died from method acting. Your process is your process, but how do you feel about method acting?"
I think it's made up BS. I think, by the way, who's the guy that plays on Succession? Jeremy Strong.
Right. He's into that.
Royal pain in the ass to
deal
with.
He's the one that plays... not Logan Roy, but his son, the main son. The guy that's challenging Logan Roy for everything.
Yeah. He's apparently a big method actor guy. You know, there's this famous story. I think it's true, but whether or not it is, it's become legend, is that when they were making the movie Marathon Man, Laurence Olivier was the heavy. He was the bad guy, and Dustin Hoffman was the good guy. And they were down in this train station, and Dustin Hoffman had been, his teeth had been drilled, and he'd been up all night and all this kind of stuff. And Hoffman was going through all this process himself. And Laurence Olivier said to him, "Oh, my dear boy, that's why they call it acting." He's like, "You don't have to do all that stuff. Like, it's okay to not be method-y."
Yeah, I always thought method acting was a little over the top. I know Daniel Day-Lewis was,
He's like, "I'll go and I'll cobble shoes
When he became Lincoln, he like literally walked, talked, and acted like Lincoln for, 2 months.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Look at Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, right. Yeah, no, there are definitely telltale, disasters that that can pretend from method acting.
Bobcat.
Hey, was that your mom?
That was Jan.
I said to Bergman, I wanted a bunch of drops from Jan.
It actually sounded pretty good. Play that again.
Bobcat.
Yeah, she sounds good. Were you at lunch someplace?
We were at dinner. We were at a restaurant. Her and her fiance were. It was both their birthdays.
Fiance. I like that. Do you approve?
Yeah. No. Okay. He's great. He is great to her, and it's amazing. I like.
If they were to get married, would he be your stepdad?
Not stepdad Chris.
Not stepdad Chris. It'd be two. We'd have two of them.
Two not stepdads on this show.
Bobcat.
That was good, Jan.
Not
very
bad.
Well,
thank
done.
You, Mom. All right, so Beyonce has joined Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson as the only three artists to have 20 top 10 hits in the Billboard Hot 100 after Break My Soul peaked at number 7. Where do you have Beyonce all time amongst singers?
All time amongst
male
singers.
Or female. Male, where is female? Beyonce?
Well, Beyonce. The fact that she said, what'd you say, 20 top 10
20
hits?
20 top 10 hits.
Puts her in the top 10.
Sure.
The
singers, performers, what are you getting at here?
Well, I mean,
like,
she's both.
Voice,
so,
she's obviously, she's a great
she's
dynamic
a great performer.
Stage performer and has an unbelievable voice.
Right, so you kind of got to, you choose. Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. I think she's top 10 in terms of just straight up vocals. I mean, I would put her in the same category as people like
Adele. When I think of people, I was just going to say, when I think of people just straight voice,
yeah,
I think of Frank Sinatra, I think of Adele, I think of Barbara Streisand. I don't know if Beyonce has that
Whitney.
Voice, but when you combine everything, the fact that she's a show woman,
yep.
that she puts on
a great show.
Yeah, that she's killed it a couple of times at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I think you get your money. She empties the tank.
Yeah.
Which I think puts her in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I would put her in the top 10 just straight up in terms of vocals. I mean, vocally, she's just spot on the money all the time. So I would put her near the top of the list. I wouldn't necessarily put her... I put her in the same category as Adele. That basically not quite. And Jennifer Hudson. Those are the three really great voices I think that are out there for women right now. Those three.
It's funny that this came up, Greg. I didn't know you were going there. We've been kicking around this idea, me and a couple of my friends of mine, that somebody said, name the top five American bands. Of all time.
American bands.
And the only two that we were like six of us. And the only two we could agree on unanimously. Everybody else had a problem with anyone else you can think of. You guys want to take a guess?
Beach Boys?
They got all but one vote.
Wow.
All right, the two that were unanimous were the Eagles.
Sure, the Eagles.
You know, and everybody thought that that they should be in there.
Yep.
And the other one was Pearl Jam. That's it. You wouldn't even go with Pearl Jam. Here's some
person. I would put Nirvana. A lot of love. Pearl Jam.
Well, Nirvana was very quick.
Yeah, but you're talking. But didn't say great band forever. Just great band.
Just five greatest American bands. Yeah, a lot of love for REM. A lot of love for Talking Heads.
Green Day. A lot would be of on love. My list.
Greg, the Doors were in there, but again, short window.
Guns N' Roses would be on my list. Great American band. That's I just saw Thor: Love and Thunder this weekend.
No, don't say nothing. Say nothing.
All right.
Yeah, so that's a hard one. If you want something to kick around at a dinner party, see if you can come up with a unanimous five greatest American bands. You'll be surprised.
Everybody will
say names that you'll be like, oh, for me they are easily, and then you're not. But Pearl Jam and the Eagles, everybody kind of signed off. I mean, Pearl Jam was more of an Eddie Vedder sign off, but everybody else was like
what about Foo Fighters?
Not for everybody. You know, same thing with Chili Peppers.
I love Foo Fighters. Chili Peppers. What about Aerosmith? They're all American.
Aerosmith came up.
I think the Beach Boys, though, with Pet Sounds, that was one of the best albums
of all time. Yeah, right. But a lot of people don't go for that kind of music. So we'll see.
Eagles, Green Day, Guns N' Roses, Foo Fighters, and there was one more that you guys said.
Yeah, it's a very open-ended debate.
Yeah, very tough.
Bobcat.
All right, is that it, Bergman?
Yeah, we can stop there.
Okay.
Okay, cool. There's your Bobcat for today. Coming up next for you, John, tonight is the return of the final season of Better Call Saul.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
And I got a question for you about the second half of the final season coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.